We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, and we are live here this morning. We're live every morning. But I looked in the mirror and I was still going, so I thought, well, we're live here. I really enjoy the... I saw a documentary on Carl Reiner. It was a cool guy. And I think the name of the documentary was I Get Up and I Look in the Obituaries, and if I'm not in there, I have breakfast. Okay, well, it is October 7, 2019. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. It's the first Monday of the month. You can't get any later than this, the 7th. It's when the first falls on the Tuesday. That's how that happens with Adam Bergstrom. As you know, if you've been looking at our website and received some emails, if you were a customer, you know that our dear friend Wayne Blakely translated, I think it's been about, a week ago now, maybe 10 days ago. He translated to another reality and left his body. And what a wonderful guy. And I don't know how many revolutions were on the sun. I think he was 69 or so, or young kid. But he had kind of deep set, kind of, I guess as you would call it, the one diabetes his whole life, and pretty much. So who knows exactly what modality we use to leave our body for the last time. We always come up with something. My opinion, when this goes on, what we call die, we as soul, just it's time to go for whatever reason. There's a million different reasons, and you only know why when it's your time and my time. You'll know. Maybe. You definitely know after you leave. But anyway. So, God love him. He went to... I talked to him about a week before he translated. And he had just returned from Missouri, and they were doing a project. They went down there for about 3 or 4 months, and it was really not a very good lead that he got. It wasn't, the whole setup wasn't the way he was told it was, and access to this huge pig operation that were interested in trying to figure out why this pig flu, or whatever they call it, and it's massive, really. I was looking at the pork prices in China this morning, something I do every now and then. Whoa, never seen a price rise like this. This whole pig thing is just killing pigs all over the world. Lots of pork is eaten in China. But anyway, but it never worked out. He never really got to the right people. It was just, it just ended up to be just a fool's errand, so to speak. But, Wayne, he wanted to try, and he really thought that because he's worked with cattle and other animals, these probiotics that we sell, promote from Wayne's company, Living Streams, are very powerful. And he's seen them work in cattle and in all kinds of animals. And, he was working with the perspective, you got some kind of virus or some kind of weird bug going around the world with pigs. Really, the only way you can protect them is to get their microbiome and their immune system and their gut and everything happy, just like people. I mean, that's the way it works. But it never really worked out down there. And he really got sick there. But he told me it was from a lot of chemicals in Missouri. And he said they had really bad water. And he was very sensitive for a lot of reasons, including, I think, his blood sugar stuff. And he came back and he was just really sick. And when the last day I talked to him, we were talking and he barely could talk. And kind of in the middle of the conversation, he said, you know, I just have to go. I just can't stay on any longer. And I said, okay, talk to you soon. So that was it. And then a week later, man, poof. So Godspeed to Wayne and our best to his family and our condolences to Mary and the family. But his legacy will move on and carry on with Living Streams because the family was involved, his son and daughter and Mary, his wife. They were involved, and so they know the business, and they were actually running the business for the last 3 months when he was in Missouri, so they got a little training. I guess Wayne knew what he was doing. I'm going to leave here in a few months. I better get some training so they can do without me. So, bon voyage, Mr. Wayne, and may the blessings be. Well, it's October 7, 2019, and the star of the show in the first and the third Monday is Adam Bergstrom, soon to be adambergstrom.com. No, that's not right. Hi, Adam.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning. And as my mentor, Donald Lay, said, like it or not, we all survive our decent burials.
We all survive our decent burials. Yeah, we do. We do. Adam Bergstrom is the author of Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition, co-author. And as I said, he's here on the first and the third Monday. And he has two great websites, solartiming.com and SunSync Nutrition. Solar Timing is the freebie. You get where you get all the ebooks. He has more ebooks than the Law of Laws. I think they're going to put a law on the amount of ebooks you're going to have. And then the SunSync, you pay $99 for the rest of your life, even if you live to 144. Which is a good number. And Adam is into chronobiotic nutrition. In case you're new to the show, we get a lot of new people all the time. And that's how do you put it in just a paragraph, chronobiotic nutrition? How would you say you met somebody in a cocktail party and they say, well, what do you do? And you say, well, I talk about chronobiotic nutrition. And they say, well, what is that? What would you tell them?
I say, eat foods from trees in the morning, from vines in the middle of the day, and roots at night, and then they get the butterfly net and try to take me away.
They do. They say, sir, have you had enough, too many cocktails?
That's what they think. But I have the vodka cocktails, if they're made out of potatoes, at night.
Sure.
But actually, the science of chronobiology is very real, but most people don't know about it. It involves time, which of course doesn't exist, but timing is the cure for time. It is the doorway or the portal, if you will, to the magic moment. The momentous moment is eternal.
Because we are soul, right? Adam, we're eternal. We've been around. I don't know if we even ever had a beginning. I don't know how that worked.
Everything is soul. Soul is the gold, and the mold may be cracked. That's the mind, but the gold can never be cracked.
The gold can never be cracked. Yeah, I love some of the
with the mold, and that's what puts us in the matrix.
Yeah.
Better get our sunglasses and start fighting.
I love some of the poetic things that they've written about soul, Rumi and all that. Way back, and the idea that soul cannot be pierced, you cannot cleave it, you know, you cannot burn it, you know, it's all these great things that he wrote about, and all of the great spiritual masters over the years, from Buddha to Jesus to all of them, you know, all the ones we know and love, and Eck masters and all kinds of masters, that's all they talked about, really, was that we are soul, and it's up to us, baby, just... it's your party, you know. Just do as thy wilt, and just do no harm, you know.
That's why it's self-realization. All we have to do is realize that we don't have to do anything. There's no self-activation. It's right. Just realize what we are.
What we are. That is self-realization. And then once we know that and we can learn how the game is played, you know, we still have our ups and downs and, you know, our belly aches or whatever, you know. But, you know, it's a challenge living in planet Earth, and that's what we're learning how to do with a little grace and charm and maybe try to get out of here with, I don't know, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of schooling, so the next place is maybe even more fun than this one.
The more we know, the better off we are. If we really understand the underpinnings of things and how the world works, that's understanding. We're under the whole process.
Under the whole, oh, yeah.
It's over the whole process.
I like that, yeah. Well, I've been becoming kind of a petarian when it comes to milk. I'm on about a month's worth of lots of milk, and I changed from goat's milk to cow's because I thought if I was going to build muscles, maybe goats are a little bit more, they're heavier, right? And then, you know, and I figured if little baby calves can grow into huge, you know, I mean, whoa, they get pretty big on just mom's milk, right? So. And I got to tell you, I really am enjoying it. It just tastes good, and I seem to be doing fine with it. Of course, you could always wake up one day and, you know, the milk god could say, no more, you know. So I'm always prepared for that, you know, everything's subject to change. But for the moment, it's feeling very good. And you know, I've been lifting more and putting some muscles on and gaining a few pounds already. Did you ever go through the milk thing, Adam, in all your trials and experiments with diet?
Well, not as an experiment. I was raised on milk. First of all, mother's milk for a few years, and I went directly to goat's milk.
Oh, you did?
And then after that, to cow's milk, and I drank about 2 quarts or more for the first 30 years of my life until I met Adonna Lay.
Every day?
I said, cut down on that a little bit, maybe.
You drank 2 quarts a day?
A day on a regular basis, more sometimes, and
whoa,
half and half.
So I'm sorry, half and
people
half?
People say they can gain weight on half and half. I wish they'd tell me how they did it, because
yeah,
I drank as much as 2 quarts of half and half a day and never gained an ounce.
Yeah, as you know, you're more than anybody, and I can contest, you know, this whole weight gain thing is a whole, who knows, it's as curious as losing weight, right? There's so many little tidbits involved in it, I guess, that it's just not a matter. I mean, look at you drank half and half and never gained an ounce, right? And I know some people that just look at a bowl of oatmeal and they'll gain weight.
Then I realized, and have explained in my book about bloat, that the weight is actually carbon dioxide and water is all it is. So all you have to do is breathe to gain weight, or breathe out to lose weight.
Oh, so I have to breathe more. So that's why I've been learning more about how to fill my lungs up without breathing. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, so breathe more if you want to lose weight, and breathe less if you want to gain weight.
Because I misunderstood. Okay. I thought you said you have to breathe in to gain and breathe out to lose, but then you just said the opposite. So.
Yep, you breathe out to lose because you want to get rid of the gas that is what is the basis of fat. Fat, when it burns, converts to nothing but carbon dioxide and water. And it's 84% carbon dioxide, so it's a gas.
Gas. So that's why I practice a lot of even Buteyko when I'm rebounding with my little hydrogen breathing that. So not to breathe a lot, breathe as less as I can. So that's retaining more CO2, right?
Yes, and so that's why yogis could be buried for 40 days and not lose any weight. Just as a bear hibernates, it can actually gain weight because they retain the prana. And as we discussed on our last show, it is nothing but carbon dioxide.
Prana, yeah, CO2.
You retain, most people lose life force by exhaling. But if you hold the exhale in, then you not only preserve your life, but you can astral project, bilocate, do all those yogic tricks, are just basically prana in action.
Yeah, just soul moving around. Yeah, it's really interesting when you do exercise, folks, and if you want to look at one of these rebounders, you can really get strong cardiovascular, and I've been doing it for so many years, and I don't know how many, what, early 90s, and you know, I can run in place now just as fast as, I mean, I'm talking, you know what I mean, 30 seconds, 45, or even a minute, and when I'm stopped, I'm not really breathing really heavy, and even my heart rate's maybe 150 or 160 or something like that. So you can really build up by rebounding. You can really build all these little, what are you building up here? What am I building up? Heart muscle as well as veins?
The entire veins and arteries, and you're putting calcium in the pineal gland because they have it backwards. They want to decalcify it, and actually you want to put otoliths in it and get rid of the fluorine and the silicon and other things that are impeding its photographic functions.
So that's why when I do my spiritual exercise and I just focus right there on the pineal, actually in the physiology of it, it's better to have more calcium in there?
Definitely. That's what George Eastman found out when he invented the Polaroid camera. And that's exactly what our pineal can do.
Oh, that's what it is doing. It's actually...
Yeah, the Polaroid camera was actually invented on the principle of the otolith out of the pineal gland. George Eastman knew. They knew that back then, but medical amnesia has forgotten those facts today. And now you see on the internet the ridiculous thing that you are calcifying your pineal gland and you're doomed. Well, fluorine, if you look at it closely, eats the enamel away. It eats the calcium away. It does not create it. It eats it away. It's called modeling.
You're just way too logical for you know, for natural healing stuff, man. Well, it just makes sense, of course. Yeah, I like it. That's a beautiful little insight there. I mean, if the fluorine, the bromine, or what's supposedly calcifying the pineal gland, we know that it does just the opposite, as you said.
It fluoridates it instead of calcifying it.
If you don't think so, go into some of these Texas towns with that high fluoridated water and your teeth will turn brown.
They definitely will, and they'll fall out too.
I hate it when that happens, man. It makes
them harder, but it makes them also, hard is not necessarily good. When people get hard bones, that's the phosphate type, they break. We're designed to have carbon dioxide in our bones like children do. Actually, Ray Pete goes into that in detail too.
Yeah. On the milk thing, if you think about it and you look at it, it really is it's a pretty complete food. Is there anything that milk drinkers should add to make it more complete? Is it lacking something? As far as a nutrient profile, Adam, you know, with the carbs, proteins, fats, you know, that thing.
It's pretty complete. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a midday food, though. I drink it from 11:30 when I drink it. I don't drink milk much more. I eat cheese, though. Cow cheese, mm-hmm. and some other products every once in a while. Kefir, but kefir, you know, Ray Pete is against it, and I seem to have some problems with it, too, so I've abandoned that again. I try it once in a while. I have an allergic reaction or whatever it is, and I drop it.
Yeah, my Ayurvedic fellow, and we're going to have an Ayurvedic lady on tomorrow, again, we liked her, and they're just never was into any kind of fermentation, even yogurts, kefir, kimchi, none of that stuff. They've always said it was just not good for it. I never did well with it. I never did. So I don't know what it's about.
When I got initiated into transcendental meditation, lactic acid was the devil. That was one of the main purposes. You were meditating to get rid of lactic acid. Okay. So then I get in the health food industry, and now they're saying you want the lactic acid from the fermented food. And so I'm confused. So I didn't do it because I thought that the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi was a little smarter than the people promoting fermentation. And so I never fell for that. Now, there's no problem eating a little sauerkraut once in a while or something like that. You don't have to be fanatical about it. But if you think fermentation is going to be helpful for you, it really, except in some extreme cases, because anything can cause anything and anything can cure anything, it can be handy, but usually not.
Usually not. Just usually not. Well, if you'd like to be on the show this morning, you're welcome to do that with Adam Bergstrom. We have some good emails coming in here, and you too can join the show. Patrick at oneradionetwork.com if you'd like to use the phone. 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. We've been having fun with our hydrogen machine. I really like to check it out. Dr. Mark Serkis talks about hydrogen therapy by using Brown's gas from our Aqua Cure machine.
Hydrogen therapy, especially the gas, usually breathing it in. What is oxidative stress? It's like the exhaust in a car. When you burn oxygen to create ATP, not a clean process, not totally. So it creates free radicals, these kind of substances in the body that like to compromise other substances. If you're burning pure hydrogen, see, in oxidative process in the mitochondria, we're actually breaking down food, not just pure hydrogen. If you're using pure hydrogen, like a car would, the exhaust is pure water.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The hydrogen buses and all that, just pure water.
Right, pure water. So hydrogen therapy, what it's doing is it's bringing down oxidative stress by combining the hydrogen, molecular hydrogen combines with free radicals, and what does it do to them? It turns them to water. So that's hydrating.
Remember, there's a lifetime warranty, and then there's a one-year, no-questions-asked, money-backed warranty on the AquaCure machine. In case you don't like it, send it back. Get your money back. Use promo code ONERADIO in our store. Promo code ONERADIO on oneradionetwork.com. Hi there, Wayne Blakely, Living Streams man. Why are there so many Living Streams products in our store?
I make so many because each one of the products is designed for different aspects of healing the body. Every product, sometimes we use combinations, but mostly we use individual ones to help certain aspects of healing certain organs in the body or nutrient that's in a product, plus the probiotics that are in there.
Each product has a different nutrient that works on various organs of the body.
Exactly. Nutrients are specifically designed for, like, you know, the Living Streams helps the liver, the alfalfa helps the vascular system, and so on and so on.
Okay, over the next few days, we're going to be telling you more and more about each individual product, but check out our store, all the Living Streams products, and you can email me for more information, or you can call Marilyn, 360-912-2981. She has a lot of information as well. Living Streams Probiotics in our store.
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
One Radio Network with Adam Bergstrom. Yes, no, maybe chronobiotic nutrition. So I've been taking your advice, too. You suggested that if I do something fun in the way of, what'd you say? Oh, goat cheese. And then goat cheese, and then also these little crackers I'm getting, the einkorn crackers from Italy, from the original einkorn wheat, you know, the real wheat thing. So I've been using some of that with goat cheese. And you said that would be, those are muscle builders too, right? Muscle builders too.
Definitely. The wheat is a good source of magnesium too.
Mm-hmm. And I found some really nice organic goat cheese. It's hard to find organic raw goat cheese or grass-fed goat cheese, but I like the soft and gooey stuff. You know, some. Do you like eat all different kinds of cheeses? What do you like?
I prefer raw goat cheese, but I haven't been able to get it lately. So occasionally, I have some that isn't raw. And actually, I agree with Ray Pete that there's not much difference in when you pasteurize it or treat it. Homogenizing—that's a different story, but. Pasteurization to make sure you don't get various diseases. And now in a baby, they did research a long time ago, and I've forgotten this research, that it really is important for a baby to get raw milk. And of course, they get it from the mother's breast is ideal. But then once you get to be 1, 2, 3 years old, you don't need as much. Remember, a baby can be as much as 93% water. So they have a lot different quality to them. And part of aging is dehydrating more and more and more till some obese people can be 15% water. And all the rest, carbon dioxide and nitrogen and hydrogen, obviously.
Yeah, that's the whole process, isn't it, of the common thing we call aging in our culture, right? People just kind of dry out, don't they? They just dry out.
We want the carbon dioxide in our brain, which is drying, not in our, the rest of our body. And I'm talking about excess. Of course, we need carbon dioxide everywhere. We need oxygen everywhere. But in the lungs, we mainly take it into the brain. And that's where we get the preservation quality, because the carbon dioxide regulates the medulla oblongata.
Well, that's probably why the one we love, wants to tax and regulate carbon dioxide, because they want to just look out for us and make sure we don't use too much.
The trees are complaining. They want more carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide is what makes sugar. And without sugar in the morning and the middle of the day and the evening, the world won't go around. And that's why magnesium is... And by the way, I'm writing now... Actually, not writing. I had written a series of alchemical books on the elements, and I'm re-releasing them. They'll be out soon, except I realized I needed to update and revise them. So the first one coming out in a few days will be on magnesium. And it is a very interesting element that we recycle. You know, if your gut biome is correct, you'll recycle 95% of the magnesium.
Wow.
But because of drugs and the standard American diet and everything, that starts to fail. And even if you put it in your mouth, it goes right out. So it's very important to have a good gut biome and recycle your magnesium, so you can use it over and over and over again. And of course, magnesium was picked for chlorophyll for a good reason. If you take carbon dioxide and try to put out a magnesium fire, it increases it. It burns in carbon dioxide. If you try to put it out with water, it burns in water. And of course, sugar is carbon and hydrogen and oxygen. So, and carbon dioxide. So it needs to do that. To make a carbohydrate, a carbohydrate, you have to have magnesium. That's why it is the center of the chlorophyll molecule, and no other element can do that job.
So let's see. So sugar... Sugar's not as terrible in general as we've led to believe, is it?
Especially when it's in combination. When you get a fruit that has, say, 1,000 different elements in it, the supplement makers try to duplicate that by haphazardly combining, you know, you get about 10 herbs together all at a time. But an apple knows exactly what it's doing. It's a complicated manufacturing plant. And it knows how to take the sugar and balance it with magnesium and with calcium and with whatever else. It knows how to balance it out. So you're always safer taking a whole food, and especially a food that is a fruit or vegetable or a fruit, because it's presented to eat. The plant wants you to eat it. It's giving you a gift of it. Now, it's more complicated with something like kale, which you kill it when you eat it. When you take a fig from a fig tree, you don't kill the tree. The tree says, thank you, I'll give you another fig next year because you're helping me reproduce. But even though it turns out that kale is good for us, all you have to do is cook it, and then you fuse the chemical defense that it has against us. So they're all good. And
I don't really think kale was meant to be eaten. I think that they just got an expensive PR firm some years ago so they could get into the... I'm just kidding, but it's pretty weird food, man. But I guess it's really good for you. I guess they got a lot of minerals in there, but...
The vitamin K is particularly good, even though they call it angry lettuce.
It looks like angry. It tastes like angry lettuce, too. when you eat it, it tastes like somebody, you know, it's angry. I just kind of leave it alone, just let it be. There's plenty of other stuff around, but of course, kale chips are pretty good. That's the rage too, right? Kale chips, organic kale chip. You see those all over the hippie food store. But on sugar, even sugar, like Ray Pete talks about, I got some organic beet sugar, so I've been using that sometimes in my milk. If I wake up in the middle of the night, he says that helps you go back to sleep, right? So
I'm glad you can get that, because beet sugar, of course, is a nighttime sugar, and the sugar organization, the beet people, actually decided to make everything GMO. So I'm glad they still have some available that isn't GMO, because if you get it when it's not organic, you're getting GMO for sure, 100%, according to the organization.
No, I understand, but I wouldn't do any beet kind of thing, you know, beet sugar without inlet, because I know what you mean. Yeah, this isn't, I don't know where I got it. I can send you a link. I think I got it through Amazon. I'm not sure, but I'll have to check, but it's kind of fun, and don't feel like I'm dying or anything having my little beet sugar. Well, probably won't.
Actually, it's beneficial and can help you even out of context. If you don't overdo it, anything, of course, can be an excess.
Sure.
You can drown in water. You can drown in, you can overeat anything and explode your stomach, you know.
So
everything has its limit. And a lot of times that limit varies between people. Many people can't be like Mr. Eatsall, who ate a Cessna. It took him 2 years to eat it, but he ate the whole plane. But most people would find they would get some indigestion from
that. You think? Yeah, I think I'm just going to cut down on.
My son had a friend that ate bottles, you know, so people can't do it.
And why would he do that?
Well, he would do it to ward off a fight. He would go into a bar, and when someone would give him the stink eye, he would order a half pint of booze in the bottle, take it, swig it down, in a few gulps, and then eat the bottle, and then look at the person that was giving him the stink eye, and that would pretty much stop the fight right there.
Well, how could you not cut your esophagus and stomach? I don't understand you could do that.
I know. There are a lot of people that can do it in the Middle East. They actually have nightclub acts where they do it every night.
Really?
Eat bottles, stab swords through their belly, and heal themselves. So the human body has a lot of options that we are not taught about in medical science. For heaven's sake, they don't want us to know that color can heal, that the mind can heal, that all kinds of things. And when I say the mind can heal, the soul doesn't care. The soul is the soul. It's the goal. So it's not going to have any problem. But the mind, that's where the problem starts. So just stay out of the mind and be soul and be happy.
Be soul, be happy. We're happy and grateful. That's a doodle and I sing a lot. We're happy, we're grateful, we're happy, and we're grateful, because why not? What else are you going to say? Good morning on the phone. Who's this?
This is Dave McCauley, a.k.a. Santa. How you doing?
Who?
Oh. Hi, Dave.
Oh, you guys know each other. I thought this was a robocall or something. Sorry, Dave. Good morning.
Talking to Santa Claus.
How you doing?
And Super Dave.
Hey, Adam, I was wondering, I'm part of a Concerned Veterans of Arizona. I've gone to some of their meetings, and you're talking about trauma is overwhelming. Hmm. Have you thought about working with veterans on your body health?
You know, I have. One was a well-known psychologist, though I forget his name now, and he actually, his dad had been at that same beach that was in the movie Saving Private Ryan, and when he saw that movie, he had a feedback loop from it, and he was terrified. And here was an experienced psychologist writing books and everything. And so he came to me, and I choose to remember what we found, but he was helped by going back and finding out where that came from. But yeah, they terrible traumas, you know, shell shock, PTSD, whatever you want to call it nowadays. They have various names, have changed through the ages, and it's a real problem. And veterans that put their life on the line like that are definitely traumatized by it.
Dave, what kind of things are you all doing to kind of help one another that doing that?
Well, yeah, just trying to make them people aware of some of the issues that the veterans are having. especially with the Veterans Hospital, which is atrocious here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Some of the new techniques that they're using that have been somewhat experimental are self-actualization.
What's that?
That have self-actualization.
Sure, sure.
Therapy. Yep.
Sure.
Some of the veterans are fairly new, and they seem to have said it's helped them quite a bit. But I was wondering, Adam, what's the best time to get with you on maybe learning your techniques? Because I'd like to probably try to work with some of these guys.
Actually, you've taken so many of my workshops, Dave, you probably know a lot of the techniques. And the main thing to recycle a lot of these traumas are the color, you know, going through the colors, yawning and stretching. And then if you can learn how to mind hack, I used to call it body dowsing, but it doesn't have much to do with the body,
right,
or the dowsing. Then you can go to the specific traumas. Now, working with people that aren't familiar with that, they're going to think that's pretty weird to get a hold of their feet and start turning it and find out left and right. So sometimes you keep to the color recycling, the yawning and stretching, and if you can put them on a solar type diet where they're eating on time, all of those help mitigate and even release and integrate those traumas that people have. But yeah, one day we'll talk on the phone. I haven't talked to you for a long time anyway, and I'll
Dave, there's a, I don't know if this is helpful because I don't know what part of this is you're involved in, but there's some great work being done over by the how do you say it, Aaron? Pericles? Not, I don't think you pronounce it like that. In Sweden, Dr. Rao, R-A-U, and working with, and then there's also this fellow we interviewed. If you sent me an email, Dave, maybe I can send you the show where they're using saunas and niacin and things like that and helping the vets to detox of deep, deep, you know, chemical stuff. And it's definitely tied in with the whole mental, emotional, spiritual issue too, that we've seen that the more you can detox physically, you're also detoxing mentally as well.
Okay, that's R-A-U. Doctor?
What's that?
It's spelled R-A-U.
Yeah, R-A-U. Doctor. Yeah, and he's in the Pericles Institute, I think in Sweden or Denmark. We have some shows on our website. Just put in R-A-U and you can listen to some of those. And also, if you send me an email, I'll send you this show we did with a doc out of Washington, D.C. that's working, doing a lot of cool stuff with the veterans, getting rid of some of this depleted uranium out of their body. And, that's tied in. It's hard to get self-actualized when you're all toxic.
Right. I agree.
It's interesting. A long time ago, I lectured to veterans in Houston, particularly about meditation and things like that, because always meditation, especially the type similar to TM, which you don't have to sign up and pay thousands of dollars for their technique, but Herbert Benson just knew that you sit down and repeat a simple word called a mantra over and over and over again, and you can get relaxation. So sometimes you can do simple things like that. And of course, the yawning is just eventually, if you yawn enough, then the pressure goes away, because mental pressure is the same as barometric pressure. And we tend to, by having poor breath control, retain our traumas. So they stay in. And trauma is printed in carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is good when it stays in the gaseous state, but when you start printing with it, just like my so-called lead pencil has a point, but it's really made out of carbon, and it writes. The silicon and carbon in our body is what prints out what we call karma. And karma is just a fancy word for carbon, by the way, carbon. So once you start to loosen that up and realize that we identify so much with the ego, that then the ego can be traumatized. But if you're not identifying with the ego, then what can be traumatized? There's nothing left to traumatize. Again, you're dealing then with just the gold, and the trauma is in the mold.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said.
Well, I appreciate
it. It takes generations, four or five generations, to heal that mold, but you can quicken up the process by doing various techniques, and maybe we'll talk about it on the phone.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. We appreciate
Sounds
it.
Great.
Yeah. It's nice to get the ego and the mind all kind of situated, and you know, but you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. You know, if we're operating out of soul, and certainly we forget every now and then, but it doesn't matter what the mind's up to. You know, who cares? You know,
no, soul doesn't even have to go anyplace. It's everywhere already.
It's everywhere already.
Obviously, we don't need any desire or anything at that point because it's all there.
It's all,
but
and that's why soul travel is really is.
We don't have that option except because people have to pay the bills, be on time. Like to do this show, we have to be on time. That's mine. That's not soul. Soul doesn't care what time we show up or if any of us show up or if we go or come. Like Wayne is eternal, but we play the game that he's not, and everybody goes to his funeral. And actually, he's eternal, but soul knows that, but mind has no clue about it usually.
Not too much, yeah. Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. And let's see here. Here's one. Hi, Patrick and Adam. I was wondering if Adam heard your show with Thomas Cowan. Did you hear that one, the cancer one?
I've heard quite a few shows by him.
No, the one we did like last week about with cancer and all that.
Part of it.
Yeah, it was really cool. Could you ask him what he thinks about the idea of deuterium depleted water? Oh, yeah, because I think Dr. Cowan had mentioned that, this heavy water. Do you know anything about that? Yeah.
Yes, I do. I've written blogs about it. And actually, I personally believe that it doesn't make much difference if you have deuterium depleted water. Or do you realize before they said you want the deuterium water, you want it in the water, and then they switched the other way. So I believe if you live up in on a mountaintop, you get richer deuterium water, but it doesn't make that much difference. In fact, going to the mountaintop, like Ray Pete says, has more to do with the acidic soil and the pressurization than it does with the carbon dioxide itself, when certainly the deuterium is a minor player. So when people, it's like if you are healthy and you want to be healthy, let's take an example. Doing healthy things for you would be like working out at the gym. Taking deuterium would be like moving your arm slowly from side to side. In other words, it has some effect on the muscle, but it has very little effect on your health. So I think it's just one of those things that's become a marketing thing, and I'm just not into deuterium. But if I was in the mountain, I'd drink Arctic water and get a little tiny bit of benefit from it.
That was my sense of it when I first heard about it. I go, OMG, another thing that they want to sell, you know, less water or deuterium. And I just always go back to the God thing, and why would deuterium be in water if it was bad for you? We'd all be dead, or you know what I'm saying?
It's a isotope of hydrogen. Oh. So I'm perfectly content with hydrogen.
I'm good with hydrogen, so I didn't know it was an isotope of hydrogen.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Deuterium, yeah. Deuterium and tritium, they're basically hydrogen 1, hydrogen 2, and hydrogen 3. So plain hydrogen, which is one-on-one, which is basically the alpha particle, is fine enough for me because the other two aren't the alpha particle.
So here's my deal. Go ahead and drink deuterium depleted water for 50 years and then come back and show us if you've aged or not. So let us know.
Pretty much it. So, and that, you know, I agree with Cowan on the heart is not a pump, a lot of other things, but on deuterium, I think that's just getting.
Yeah, and he just mentioned it in passing. It wasn't a big deal. So,
I figured so.
Yeah, he just mentioned it in passing, and he was talking a great deal about the cells and how the cancer thing forms and how the Nobel Prize winner guys that did the oncogene. Remember that? They won a Nobel Prize in 71 when President Nixon declared, we're going to find a cure for cancer, because these two guys said, well, we know the cause. We know, and here's the cure. You get rid of this oncogene and you know, you're done. And they won the Nobel Prize. And they were just wrong. They were wrong on so many aspects, according to Colin. So many of the things they wrote about, they were just wrong. Yeah, they were just wrong.
The gene is one level, as Emmanuel Ravisi and others have pointed out, and that's the main problem with our medicine. They look in the wrong places. Let's take magnesium. Magnesium is supposed to be inside the cell, and yet they say that blood sugar is a threat. It's in the serum, and that magnesium controls it. Well, how can magnesium, which is in the cell, be in the serum and the plasma controlling blood sugar? Obviously, they're very confused, and they measure things in the wrong places. Why would I measure magnesium in my serum or blood sugar? Why would you measure blood sugar in the serum? And indeed, that's where they measure it. They used to measure it in the entire cell, and sometimes in the plasma, and sometimes in the serum, but it's cheaper to measure it in the serum. So all your blood sugar tests are inaccurate in the first place. So save your money, and unless you can find a lab that gives you the whole, that gives you three facts. How much blood sugar is in the cell, how much is in the serum, what is the ratio between them two to make the whole, and where is it hiding out? If you have tourists in the building, you don't blow up the whole building. You find out what suite he's in. That is the vertical lines on the periodic table of the elements. And you find out what floor he's on, and that's the horizontal lines. And the Beaker boys don't know Shilajit from Shinola. And they basically go on and on with
that. They just don't know Shilajit, do they? They just don't know. Yeah,
that's right.
The Beaker boys. Don't you love it? The Beaker boys. What health suggestions would Adam have for young folks moving to California? Oh, about the water, EMF production and food. I guess this person, I don't know.
California is really a good place if you're along the coast. Inland, it's a nightmare because the wind tends to blow eastward. And that wind takes everything eastward. So, along the coast, right here in Santa Barbara, for instance, we don't have much farming going on, and the wind is all blowing it up in the mountains. Now, we get sundowners coming the other way, but they just come off of the mountains. They don't come from Bakersfield and the Central Valley and places like that. So if you're along the coast and you take your water and filter it and then distill it, you're fine in the water department, and then buy organic food.
Plenty
and
of
check
organic
out
food.
Your organic food. Your organic farmers, because the organic stuff in Walmart and places like that, though it's a higher choice, you don't really know if they're organic because they lie so much about that. Thanks to Walmart and thanks to Dale Dairy, otherwise known as Horizon in the health food store business. So in other words, know the source and follow the money is very important if you're moving to California.
Okay. Good job.
I like it here, but again, I was telling you before we went on air that now, thanks to a new law, they're cracking down on vaccines even more. Any school that doesn't have 95% compliance on vaccinations is under investigation, and any doctor who gives five or more exemptions, his medical license is under review. Wow. And that's a new law here in California that tightened down. And even though people have been suing them, they're not doing too well at this point.
Yeah. Wow. So they're going with this herd idea that unless you have 95% vaccinated, then the herd is not a herd, and then people are going to get sick. And it's just, the whole thing is just made up, Adam Bergstrom.
It's actually ridiculous. Think of it. I'm taking a vaccination to get to be protected. But oh no, because 94% are not or vaccinated and not 6%, I'm in dire danger even with my vaccination. What? Well, I won't use the word.
I know. What the bleep is going on? What the bleep is going on?
I'm a science denier and I'm proud of it.
What the bleep is going on is what it is. Jeez, man.
bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yeah. And it really doesn't matter, you know. It seems like California is just inherently wacky in their DNA, because it doesn't matter what kind of a, you know, left-right politicians get in there, Reagan or, you know, don't, because they have a more right-wing governor now, don't they? And, you know, they're all just as bonkers. It doesn't matter what party they're from.
Oh, no, I think we've got a left wing in there. But, you know, the wings don't matter. In fact, mm-hmm. the only way, I agree with Jesse Ventura, throw out all the parties. Run people individually so you don't know, because otherwise you have to identify with someone. And I think Jesse's absolutely right about that, that the only way we'll really have freedom is have no parties, and you just vote for a person, and that's all.
The only wings that matter are chicken wings, man. Something like
yeah.
that.
I mean, we're supposed to be running the government, not a party, you know. So whether it's a third party or whatever, that's not going to help. It's still... You have to win. And, of course, we have to learn to lose to finally win the game, because the game is that the whole thing is rigged from the beginning to the start. When Jesse was thinking of running for president, he realized that the rules are different in every state, and they put you through the hoops and sue you when you do it. And pretty soon, of course, nobody can really compete under those circumstances.
Yeah. It's a strange world indeed we live in sometimes. I'm glad we don't participate too much.
All of our forefathers are rolling around in their graves. They're spinning so fast, they're going to be fracking pretty soon.
Like, what are you guys doing, man? Adam Bergstrom's here, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. And if you care to be on the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Adam, a listener turned me on to a process called something like now I'm going to space it out. Anyway, it's this...
Neuronal something or other?
I had it this morning, and then I didn't write it down. Anyway, it'll come up with it, but it's kind of like fascia, kind of like rolfing in your stomach, you know, that kind of a thing. It's from France, and I found a lady in Austin who did it, so I thought I would go see her. And she's a German gal and does like 15 different modalities, a lot of stuff, you know, a real raconteur with these kind of things, and really cool, really knew the body. And that's the lady that told me about my breathing, how I wasn't really, you know, doing it properly, because she watched me. She said, no, you Don't want to push in your stomach after you pull it out, you know, when you expand the whole stomach. Anyway, she told me that. She did that. And then she said, well, before we really get into this, I'd like to look and see if you're interested in getting rid of some trigger points. You know, I said, sure, man, that'd be cool. So we found a few trigger points around my upper stomach where it was hurting. And you could feel them, you know, they've been there for years. And she did a dry needle thing. Have you ever heard of that, dry needle?
I've heard of it. Yeah. I don't know much about it, though.
Well, it's just a needle, and I said, oh, you mean it's like acupuncture? She says, oh, no, you're going to really feel this guy if you want to do it. She said, it'll hurt, kind of, if you want to do it. I said, sure. So she just kind of taps it on, and then she just sticks in this needle, and she puts it in, and she's fishing around for the trigger point. And then when she finds it, then she just kind of stabs it, you know, she goes, and when she stabs it, your whole body just kind of jumps, you know what I mean? It's like a shock. She says sometimes it's a shock and sometimes it's a burn. It's different, you know, when you hit the trigger point. And we worked through a few of those, and you know what? I really could feel the difference down there. Things kind of really loosened up. So isn't that interesting how these trigger points could be holding some of these organs together or something? I don't know what they're doing.
They're basically acupuncture points, as Bonnie Pruden and Janet Travell pointed out, that the thing about acupuncture points that's not normally known is that they migrate. They move around. They don't stay in one place. To sell traditional Chinese medicine to American doctors, you have to have a point that can't move. It's not energy. It has to be meat. We're dealing with meat here, so we want to needle a piece of meat. We don't want to needle some kind of energy. But actually, these trigger points move around, the acupuncture points move around and migrate throughout the body. So my view on that, because it's a form of ampicuc therapy that he's doing, that she's doing, one, there's three rules: muscle test, and muscle test, to make sure that both your body and your mind, it's okay with. So when I would do something like that, first I would see if it was appropriate and muscle test a person to see if they are psychologically able to take it and physiologically. And then I would ask them, do you want to do this? And she did that with you for sure. But I would have done also the muscle test to see if your body could take it. And that's a minor thing. It sounds like she knows what she's doing.
Well, also, you know, I think for me, I kind of muscle test in my heart because I kind of know, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of knew that I was okay psychologically and physically for it. So I think,
excellent. Because you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Earlier offers and
no, I understand. No, yeah, you got to be careful because I think Adam's onto something. Jump into something if your body's not ready for it. It's a, you know, it's not a good thing. And so, yeah, your point's well taken. No, I hear what you're saying.
I had a girlfriend show me the numerous black and blue marks all over her body. Right. And she said, look at the therapy I got, the Lomi therapy. And I said, well, you know, she asked me, do I want to do that? And I said, no, I can just go to Hollywood and have someone whip me for free. I don't have to pay for that kind of abuse. Or a woman with a mask and high boots, she can whip me to a fray, and then they can hang me from hooks. Like they actually have nightclubs in California, in LA. They hang you from hooks like meat hooks.
Oh, good.
You sit there and enjoy yourself.
Oh, good, good, good. The modality I was talking about is visceral manipulation. So we didn't really do much of that, but boy, I sure could feel the difference in my stomach on these trigger points. So then I'm going to go back, I think, in 2 or 3 weeks and really get into the visceral manipulation thing. So it's fun. And she's given me some different exercises to practice, to retrain my little body on how to breathe the proper way, you know. Pretty interesting. She showed me how I learned it from radio, where they told you to breathe right from your belly, right? Which is right? You breathe from your belly, and that's where you speak from your belly, not from your throat. But then what I was doing is then to fill up the rest of the lung, I was pushing in the belly subconsciously. You know what I'm saying? So I'd push out the belly, and then it gets the lower part of the lung, and then I would fill everything up, and I was doing, you know, pushing in the belly. And she said, no, that's the opposite way. You don't want to do that. It scrunches up your organs and stuff like that. Because when you breathe properly, she saw an MRI at some kind of thing, and she said, when you breathe totally properly and you fill up the lungs like that, you know, that you can look in an MRI and you see all of the organs just kind of floating and being massaged. The way I was doing it, I think that was one of the causes of my little tummy thing, where I was just crunching these things up and they were just not happy, you know what I mean? Probably caused my great colon stuff I had.
Back in the about 100 years ago or more, they taught the complete breath. And basically, you accent your upper lungs in the morning, your middle lungs in the middle of the day, and your belly breathing and lower breath at night. And of course, the whole lung is involved, but you aim from one to the rest. In the same way, if we look at something, we can actually change our viewpoint by looking through our eyes from the back of our head, the middle of our head, or the front of our head. And the same way with breathing, it's focus, and you'll find the body is organized in threes. We have three parts to our colon, we have three parts on the right side of the lung, we have three breathing ratios. Three is always through the body. Three organizations of the brain, you know, so it's all there.
Three is a very powerful number, right?
That's the very, very powerful number. And the other is seven, of course, the septave, or as Gurdjieff calls it, the sacred law of Heptaparapashanak.
Good for Gurdjieff, right?
That's a cameo. That's the law of three, by the way, in Gurdjieff talk.
I'm glad he did it.
He loved big names.
Oh,
and scientists do, don't they? They love to give you, instead of just saying, I got a bellyache, you got to have GERD or PUD, now they call it, and all kinds of stuff.
GERD, GERD.
And I just saw an article, you know, H. pylori causes ulcers. Then in small print, except when it doesn't, except when aspirin causes ulcers. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I tell you. I don't know about blood tests anymore. Everything, the more I learn about it, the more I'm just...
If they did a blood test correctly and realized that it's part of the sixth part of the periodic table of the elements, and you have to analyze the blood at the ratio of the fifth, the fourth, the third, the second, and the first to know the entire truth. And usually even the finest lab can only get three or four, but that's way ahead of what they're doing now with one test. In other words, these tests are looking for the keys under the street lamp, even though they were dropped across the street in the dark. Why? Because there's more light here and because it's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
Doesn't, and by the way, those expensive tests don't have to be. They're really very simple to do. We should be trained these tests in grammar school, but they don't want to do that. They don't want to admit how simple these tests are. They keep it complicated. They want to use Latin words or even the doctor syndrome, you know, Babbitt syndrome or Alzheimer's, named after a guy instead of a cause. They can't just call it a gut ache or a belly ache or something like that. It has to have some fancy name so that they can make a buck on it. Hmm. Actually, a trillion bucks.
This is pretty interesting. I got this in this morning. Let me click on it. The people with Alzheimer's disease who used antipsychotic drugs had a higher number of accumulated hospital days than people with Alzheimer's disease who did not use antipsychotics, according to a new study from Finland. The results were published in the Journal of American Medical Directors, blah, blah, blah. So the takeaway here is don't take drugs. Don't let them give you stuff.
The L-DOPA actually makes Alzheimer's worse. It's a form of yellow fat disease, by the way, but they don't want to get into that.
Oh, the Alzheimer's, the brain is getting all fatty?
Right. With two types of fat, by the way. It's not just the fish oils and the omega-3s and the flax oil. It's also palm oil. They want to pass off palm oil as coconut oil. It's not the same, folks.
Are you guys hearing the sound okay? I just got somebody who's having a hard time. Usually when I get this, it's just their computer, and then they write us and say, "You're." But let us know. Does the sound okay here with Adam this morning? All I need is a few emails. If just one email, it'll be fine, and then I know it's good. But you never know.
You're clear here.
Yeah, yeah, but you never know. You know, there's something could be cattywampus that we're not know about. But just... You know, a few of you shoot me an email if the sound sounds fine. Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone. And it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click an order, an Easter Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price. Take your pick right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. You know, I probably have taken the pine pollen more regularly and for longer than anything that we've been promoting since we started this show 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whenever it is. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's just a wonderful, wonderful product. It tastes great, and gals love it too. So if you'd like to try some, and Easter Thrival link and get some, and maybe if you want to get a double like Superman and Batman together, you could do the pine pollen and the elk velvet antler. And especially guys, if you would like to, whatever, just make everybody happier south of the border. There's certainly a lot of great things goes on with testosterone and pine pollen and elk velvet antler. And, it'll maybe help a little bit and give you a little, a little kick in your giddy up down there.
Previously, Dr. Hal Huggins on detoxing mercury.
You do not have to get all the mercury out of the body. That's not what the problem is. It's the direction it's going. If you have more going out than you have coming in, then you're going to have a good chemistry. You're going to feel good. But if you have more going in to the body than going out, chemistries look bad and you feel bad.
If you had to name just a few things on the top of your list to help get mercury out, whether they be supplements or foods, give us your top five.
Okay.
Off the top of your head.
Best thing would be the infrared sauna. The thing is, detoxification is easy. Anybody can release a lot of mercury. But if you're using a sauna, or especially the infrared sauna, then you are eliminating the mercury through the skin, and you are bypassing liver and kidney. So that's a very good way to go.
It certainly is. And it's beginning to look a lot like sauna time, and it may be where you live. And I'm pretty jazzed when the weather breaks. It's only going to be 75 today, and it was 90 yesterday, because I get in the sauna more, because it's just more fun when it's cold outside. And I have fun with ours. It's you can splatter castor oil on your tummy, turpentine on your tummy. You can do all kinds of fun things, or nothing, and just sweat. And there's so many wonderful things that come out of your sweat. Things that you don't want. And so it's a great way to detoxify. They've actually done tests where they'll do a urine test and see how much mercury and other deleterious kind of metals come out of your pee, and you do a sauna for 30 minutes, and then they do the urine test again, and there's more coming out of your pee. So it's not just coming out of the skin, it's helping the body to detoxify through the liver, kidneys, and the whole thing, man. Pretty cool. If you'd like to get one, email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and we'll hook you up. $995 in the lower 48. We'll ship it to you. $995 delivered, discounted price. We're not allowed to put this price in print, but we can talk about it, and we do. We have for a couple of years. And then also, no matter where you live, you can get this sauna. Just email me and tell me where you live, and we'll give you the price, and we'll get it to you with the proper plug as well.
My friend was down in Los Angeles recently, and he brought up some pure sulfur. We just ordered some from you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was just looking at it, and I was like, wow, this stuff really is totally different. So I put a tablespoon in my mouth and just chugged it with water, and wow.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of people get that wow thing. I felt something first time I took it about 3 years ago, and we've been promoting this pure organic sulfur ever since. 2-pound orders, 3 different prices, United States, Canada, worldwide. And you can click an order right now on the front page right here, oneradionetwork.com. Daniel Vitalis, this idea of colostrum being really good for the immune system, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the thing about colostrum is that it is developed in the blood of the cow right before it calves. And it's developed so that it can format the immune system of its calf. It's pretty important to understand that a calf would have no immune system if it got no colostrum. So it's pretty well understood that if you deprive a calf of colostrum, it's going to have a failure to thrive. It might even die. Now, human beings are a little bit different. We can survive without our mother's colostrum, but we never are going to have a fully intact immune system. The important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Explore, research, and order all of Daniel Vitalis' products clicking on the Survival links on the front page of
RadioNetwork.com.
Know the source. One Radio Network.
We're on the first Monday of the month. That would be Adam Bergstrom. Yes, No, Maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. Two websites, the Sensing Nutrition. I got Sensing Nutrition and SolarTiming.com. On Sensing, the one you pay for, they got a cool little thing that you can go in there and put in your... How does it work, Adam? You put in your latitude, your longitude, and then...
Your longitude. Find out what the real time is in your area.
Real solar time, yeah.
You know, it shouldn't phase the person that wants to eat on time, because morning, midday, and evening is perfect. But when you want to do a specific therapy for a specific organ, then it's good to know that, because it follows what the Chinese call the midnight noon law, or the law of angles. And by the way, people have heard me talk about the angle of the light. And a good friend of mine named Nicholas asked me this Saturday, if that's true about the angle of the light activating the trees, what happens at nighttime when the angle is the same? And the answer, and it's a very good question, is that the angle of the light at first feeds the trees, and then they turn off the photosynthetic process, especially if they're tall enough, by noon. And so they've had their meal for the day. They only eat one meal a day. So by the nighttime, the ground is hot now, and it's activated, and the infrared goes in there. So the trees won't eat the light that is at that same angle later. And then we could go into the Doppler effect, but that gets kind of complicated, that the sun is moving away from us instead of coming toward us. Now, the Earth is spinning, but then a philosopher asked this question. Sir, he said, why do people think that the sun is rotating around the Earth? And the answer was, well, it looks that way. And the philosopher said, how would it look if it wasn't?
Mm-hmm. How would it look if it wasn't?
Interesting question, huh?
Yeah, I got that. Did you get a chance to hear the fellow we had on, Jerry? What was it? Jerry Heller, on the global warming thing? He was quite good.
Yeah, global warming.
Did you hear him? Did you hear him?
I didn't hear that,
Oh, really? Excellent. He's a geologist, a scientist, a engineer, really smart guy. And he was saying something that's very interesting. I had no idea. He said that that the planets, when they're in a certain array with the Earth too, it actually has a pull on the Earth. I guess that's part of astrology or something. And then that causes, too, the oceans to warm and to rise and to fall as well.
That's actually been discovered by RCA in the 1940s.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, I know. I knew that, you know, planets could, you know, affect things, and we're kind of in tune with them. But wow, changing the ocean's temperatures.
So we can't think that, says mainstream science. Another reason I'm a science denier.
Another reason I don't like what the Beaker boys got up their sleeves, man.
Yeah, that's right. You know, astrology has deteriorated into kind of a pop science now, but there is a basis behind these planets. Obviously,
sure.
Nutrition and circadian eating is based on those very things, and it's just not the sun. It's how the planets are activated, too. You could go into that. But for all intents and purposes to get started, all you need to know is how the sun cycles go, secondary the moon. And after, obviously, the tides are affected dramatically by the moon and by our monthly cycles. And then, though, the stars do have an effect, and they affect us in various rhythms, from 18-year-old marriage cycle, the Lynx cycle. All of these cycles have been investigated by cycle investigators and circadians. And mainstream scientists want to ignore it. They want to call it pop science. I've even seen that phototherapy is supposed to be garbage. And look at General Electric. They make a device because 60% of babies are born with jaundice. Why? Because they're born in the hospital. They're not exposed to natural light. And if you look at the research, their jaundice therapy, which is very expensive, involves meters and machines and everything for the baby, very expensive. But if you go out in the sun, it's 6.5 times more effective to just be exposed to 430 to 490 nanometers light at high noon.
You know, on the astrology thing, I think that, you know, I take a basic view of it, Adam, and ladies and gentlemen, that we are so, and we're all connected, and we're all sparks of the same stuff, right? We're all made of the same goo, the blood, you know, the God goo. So we are the planets, and the planets are us. So it would make sense to me that when we come into this incarnation, that the planets are in a certain space, in a certain angle at that time. So if somebody really knows astrology, you can look at the planets and you could see where there may be certain tendencies karmically for this soul to go through, because it's just another thing to look at. But you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it totally makes sense to me, but I also always do the caveat that we have a free will and the planets are not controlling us. They're part of us. They are of us. And if we want to do something else other than the planets saying that we're going to do, like get hit by a bus, well, then we can. Because there's no fate locked in. Everything is subject to change.
That's called soul, which has no time and space. But meanwhile, in the matrix, we are made of stardust. The sun cannot produce any of the elements except hydrogen and helium. Our sun is way too less powerful to do that. But other suns can produce elements up to carbon, at least. But it takes a supernova to make gold and all the other elements beyond iron 56, which is the stopping point between fusion and fission. And very important that it is in level 4 of the periodic table, right in the middle, and that is the center of our consciousness.
Ooh. Dee-doo, 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 dee-doo. Yeah, everybody's telling me the sound is great. Thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. Got a whole bunch of them. So this person just is having a hard... Her computer's having a bad hair day. What can I say? It happens. Just, we always tell people to reboot. That usually just changes everything. I wonder if we could just reboot planet Earth and just... You know what I'm saying?
Good idea. You know, a lot of times, if I lose you on this computer, we just turn on Vibrant Gal's computer and hear you fine. So that definitely is what happens.
Yeah,
often.
It just sometimes it just gets silly. Sometimes it just gets silly.